Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Now, before I read the first scripture reading, I would like to read a small passage. We celebrate our common communion table with people all over the world. Through Jesus, we are brought together, and no matter how we got there, believing in the host of this table makes our joy complete. Let us share our stories, our compassion, our sympathy, as part of one human family that shares the love of Christ in breaking of the bread. Now hear this scripture advice from the second chapter of the letter of the Philippians, followed by a remembrance of what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. Imagine these early Christians in Philippi gathered at a table, reading this advice to one another and remembering the words of Jesus. Hereforth is the first scripture reading of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, regarding others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not at your own interests, but to the interests of others. Now I'll read the gospel reading of Matthew 21, 23 to 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you, by what authority do I these things? Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father then went to the second son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him."
Will you pray with me? Radiant God, fill us with your joy so we might make your joy complete. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the second season of Ted Lasso, there's this scene in Coach's office where Nate is asking the other coaches, "So has anyone ever thought of, you know, wanting to be the boss and be in charge of everything?" And Coach Beard responded with the story of how we used to think, and I'm paraphrasing here, we used to think that the trees were all individual creatures in the forest. But new research shows that they are all working together for the mutual success of everyone. And that reminded me of this episode of Radiolab that I heard, where it talks about beneath the forest floor lies this tangle of roots and fungi and all sorts of living things. And it's called mycorrhiza. And in this episode of Radiolab, they describe this organism, the mycorrhiza, this way. A strange creature that burrows beneath forests, creating an underground network where deals are made and lives are saved and lost, and a complex web of friendships, rivalries, and business relations. It's a network that scientists are only just beginning to untangle and map, and it's not only turning our understanding of forests upside down, it's leading some researchers to rethink what it means to be intelligent. This extraordinary network of tiny tubes allows for these species to share information and resources. It truly sustains and nurtures the life of the forest. And as I was thinking about how I'm going to convey this concept of joy, this image seemed fitting for us today, as we seek to understand the kind of divine joy that is at the heart of the table which we are coming to. This table which we're gathering with Christians from across the globe. It's a joy that's steadfast and faithful. It's a joy that courses through the cosmos, nurturing and sustaining life, even if we don't pay attention to it. It's a joy that we can tap into when we are struggling to find joy. You may be wondering how in the world we could be gathering at the table of joy with everything that's going on today. We're paying attention to everything in the world or how can we gather with the joy in the midst of everything that's happening? How can we think of joy with our hearts when our hearts are breaking? When we may be lonely or bored or tired or sick or broke or afraid. When we're grieving and sad. When we're angry. And to be honest, you'd be right with me if you were struggling to make the connection between this week's gospel lesson and joy. Where is the joy in Jesus' righteous anger? I found it hard to make that connection at first this week myself. Then I remembered that in this series, each of the texts, each of the stories we talked about, we're building up to this moment. This culmination of our worship series on World Communion Sunday. Joy. This table, while it is a memorial feast of remembering, it is also a joyful meal as we celebrate the life of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Once I made that connection, I drew a diagram, or a mind map, if you will. If I had a PowerPoint screen, I'd put this up for you. But I've got joy at the center. And that, you know, I just said, okay, so everything we did has to lead to joy. And then I went through all of our weeks and it's all pointing and leading us to joy. You know, first we appear an extravagant welcome. We explored God's table and how any table becomes sacred when we embody God's love for humanity in the world. When we come to the table, we are embodying Christ's hands and Christ's feet, offering love to all of God's guests. We know there is great joy in welcoming the stranger, welcoming the other to eat with us, to share in our bounty with everyone around us, especially people who are not normally welcomed anywhere else. I'm reminded of this time when I took a youth group to Boston to participate in City Reach, a weekend mission trip program. And we spent the morning, on Saturday morning, it was a cold morning, We slept in the pews of a church, and then we got up and we walked around and we handed out bag lunches and socks and underwear to the homeless on the street. And the smiles of the faces of those we met were met by the smiles of the youth's faces as they discovered the joy of being God's hands and feet and heart. Next, we explored love in action, the ways we can put that kind of love into action. And we talked about building relationships, deepening relationships, repairing relationships when they need to be repaired. We talked about how we're called to sit at the table, even with people we have disagreements with, because that's how we honor our obligation to love one another. Another way we put love into action is when we live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, as Paul writes about in Philippians. As we saw in today's reading, we make joy complete when we seek unity in Christ. Unity, I must say, is not uniformity. We don't have to be the same. Paul is writing to a divided community, encouraging them to find common ground. And the one thing that links them all together is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is encouraging them to put the interests of community over and above their own interests. We find there is such great joy in seeing our community thrive as a whole, rather than just a few individuals. When we can share in this together, we feast at the table of joy. A couple weeks ago, it was forgiveness that was on the menu. And we talked about how we're called to sit down and find merciful ways to deal with one another, despite our differences. Brené Brown writes, "Forgiveness is not forgetting or walking away from accountability or condoning a hurtful act. It's the process of taking back and healing our lives so that we can truly live." We cannot find joy in our lives if we are beholden to the grudges that we hold. Which brings us to last week's theme, which was grace. We saw that God's table is a table of plenty, and ours should be too. The kingdom of God is like a never-ending dinner party, with plenty to eat, with good friends, and enough grace to go around again and again and again and again. But we tend to scoff at God's generosity. We don't think we deserve God's love, God's grace, and God's forgiveness. We certainly don't think those people deserve it. But that's not how God works. As Paul writes in Romans 8, there is nothing in this world that will separate us from God's love. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing anyone can do. And then when we cannot find room in our own hearts for God's love and God's grace quite yet, God has us covered with a grace so big it makes up for our lack of it. I find so much joy in that. God's got my back when I can't. And each of these things points right to joy. The joy we find living our lives as Christians. And it makes me want to be better at living like a follower of Jesus. And that's where I was able to make the connection with joy and our gospel reading. You see, there's more to our lives as Christians than just our words. And that's the whole point of what Jesus was saying in our reading. There's a real relationship between our patterns of thinking and our patterns of living. Jesus is calling out the religious leaders for not walking the walk, for not talking the talk, or for just talking the talk. And so he uses the parable of the two sons to show that we must walk the walk, especially if we're talking the talk. And in this story, he talks about a father and two sons. When the father orders the first son to go to work, he replies, "Forget it, Dad. I got plans, things to do, people to see. Go pick your own grapes." But then sometimes after his father walks away, looking rather wounded, the young man's conscience gets the better of him, and he heads out into the vineyard, and he gets to work. Meanwhile, the father makes the same request to the second son, who says, "You got it, Dad." And then he never goes out and does any work at all. Which son really did what his father wanted? Jesus asks. And the answer is pretty clear, at least to me. So the question we have is, who has more joy in their lives? Those who never expect to receive God's grace and do, or those who have always expected it? Jesus said, "I assure you that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom." And imagine the joy on their faces when they realize they too have been invited to God's table. Imagine the joy in the lives of those who practice God's extravagant welcome at the table, welcoming all with joyful and open arms. And so as we gather at Christ's table this week, as we gather at the table of joy, let's come united in one mind, the mind of Christ. Let us experience the joy found in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup. Let us hear anew the call, the invitation to live in the joyful abundance, joyful abundant life that comes to all who labor to love and to be the body of Christ. Are you with me?